Great. It's not what I expected to be doing. I'm going to look at this camera. I'm waiting to see how close I need to be to it. Okay, that's fine. Not what I expected to be doing, preaching to a camera again. But the key to this is that the Word of God doesn't change. And even though we are not in the room together, He can still speak into our hearts. I'd love you to turn in your Bible or on your phone app or whatever you're on to 2 Kings chapter 6. Those of you that are part of our Connect groups will have had a look at some of these verses in the last few weeks, but we're going to look again and just really continuing almost from where Mary Jane was last week. We're going to just be looking at just really what it means to learn to see into the spiritual realm and not to be caught with the physical. So we're going to read 2 Kings chapter 6 from verse 8. And this is at the time when Elisha is the prophet, and the Arameans are at war with Israel, and they keep on oppressing them. So verse 8 of 2 Kings 6, it says, "When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, 'We'll mobilize our forces at such and such a place.' But immediately Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, 'Do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there.' So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, 'Which of you is the traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans?' 'It's not us, my lord, the king,' one of the officers replied. 'Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel, even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. Go and find out where he is,' the king commanded, 'so I can send troops to seize him.' And the report came back, 'Elisha is at Dothan.' So one night the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses and chariots everywhere. 'Oh sir, what will we do now?' the young man cried to Elisha. 'Don't be afraid,' Elisha told him, 'for there are more on our side than on theirs.' Then Elisha prayed, 'Oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see.' The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire." And the story goes on to tell us of a great victory won that day. You know, when I play rugby, there is a period before the game, and we're warming up and we're doing our drills and we're doing some just warming our bodies up and practicing getting our hands warm and all of those things. And you take glances at the opposition. You keep just having a look. Who's wearing, in my case, the number 2? Who's my opposite man? And you're looking to see, is he bigger than me? Is he smaller than me? Is he younger than me? Is he older than me? In my case, usually I'm smaller and they're younger. But that's how it is for me these days. But we're looking at our opposition to size them up, to see how strong they look. And if they're small, that's not so bad. We think, I can tackle him. If they're young, we think, that's not good. He might be quicker than me. And if they're young and big, that's a really bad thing, because we're judging our opposition. We're looking to see what they're like, and it's natural to assess the opposition. Of course, that means we may be underestimating our own strength. It may be that we're underestimating our own ability. And if you're worried too much about the opposition, then you'd forget about yourself. And this morning, in a sense, that's one of the things that I want us to see from the scripture. Because we're limited in our vision. You know, teams that are totally dominant don't need to look at the opposition. They don't need to change their tactics based on who they're playing against. And we forget as Christians that we have the power of the Holy Spirit with us day by day. We have the strength of Jesus right beside us all the time. And so often we underestimate our own strength. We underestimate who is with us. And so this morning I just want to talk to you briefly about how do we see ourselves as God sees us. The first thing I want to bring to you, the first thought I want to give you, it sort of follows on from what Mary Jane was speaking about last week. She was speaking about feeding the 5,000. You can go back and watch that last week's stream if you missed it. And she was talking about the moment when Jesus came and said to Philip, "You feed them." And there's 5,000, well, probably more like 15,000 people spread across, you know, a field somewhere. And Philip says it will take months and months of wages to buy enough food to feed all of these people. And of course, Mary Jane, you know, just spoke to us about how Jesus brings faith, and it's their act of faith which brings the miracle. And you can go back and watch that. But when we look at this story of Elisha and his servant, the servant sees the army of the enemy. He wakes up in the morning and their place is surrounded by soldiers and chariots and horses. And I imagine, well, apart from the fear, I think he's probably starting to count the enemy. Oh no. There's all those horses there, and there's all those chariots, and there's all those soldiers. We've got no chance. A bit like us looking around at our opposition when we're playing rugby. They're bigger than us, and they're stronger than us, and they're younger than us. We haven't got a chance. And too often, that's how we act as Christians. We look at the enemy. We look at the circumstance. You know, this week we have found ourselves in again changed circumstance, back in lockdown again. How easy for us to look at what's going on around us and forget the one who is with us. We're limited in our vision. Too often as Christians, we only see the physical. We're so caught with Western culture. It's the Greek way of thinking rather than the Hebrew way of thinking, and it dominates our culture. And we're caught with the physical, and we forget there's a spiritual realm that many of us, most of us perhaps, don't even see. And the challenge for us this morning, and I think there isn't a person watching this who wouldn't say, I need to see more of Jesus. I need a greater revelation of the spiritual. Because even those who have a revelation, we all know it's only limited, and we want to see more of it. So the challenge for us this morning is, like Elisha's servant, a revelation of God. And Elisha prayed, God, would you show him? Would you let him see what I see? Because Elisha could see the heavenly army. He could see the army surrounding him. In between him and the enemy soldier. How easy it is for us not to see that. And Elisha's prayer is, let him see. And later on, that's going to be my prayer for every one of us. God, that we can see what you see. God, that we can see into the spiritual realm. God, that we can see that there are more with us than there are against us. God, we need a revelation of you. You know, the circumstances did not change when Elisha's servant got a revelation. Nothing changed except the servant's understanding, except what he could see. He suddenly saw into the spiritual realm. You know, the enemy soldiers were always there, but also the armies of God were always there. It's just that he could not see them. And how important it is for us to get a revelation of the armies of God with us. Whatever opposition you face, There's a greater force with you than there is against you. The question is, can you see it? Can I see it? And here's the thing that is undoubtedly true in the Western church, and perhaps wider than that, we're very bad at seeing into the spiritual realm. We rule it out. We logic it out. Everything is logical. Everything can be worked out. But not everything is logical, and not everything can be worked out. And God is greater than the natural. That's why he's supernatural, he's outside. And we need to see some supernatural things in our lives. We need to get some supernatural vision. We need to do some supernatural miracles, because that's what the church is here to do. You know, we have a problem because there are so few in the Western church that understand what it means to live in the spiritual, that we are short of mentors. Who do we look to? Who do we watch to see somebody who lives in the spiritual? There aren't many. And that challenge is then for all of us who are a bit longer in the tooth and a bit older in the faith, that we have to develop our spiritual vision, that we can show those around us and those younger than us and those who are growing in their faith. And too often it's the younger ones that have a greater vision than those of us who've been Christians for years. We've become so focused on the physical that we have few examples of the spirit, supernatural. So we need to get a revelation of Jesus. But this also, the revelation comes because of the prophet. The man of God who can see prays for the one who doesn't see. And if you're someone who has a revelation of the Spirit of God, pray for us. If you're someone that can see into the spiritual natural, pray for your brothers and sisters who want to, who want to see more and more. If you want to see more revelation, you need to get around people who've got revelation. Follow their example. Follow what they do. Live the way that they live. The last thing that I want to just briefly share with you this morning is this, is that we need to change our culture as Christians. We need to learn a new language, a new culture. Peter says to us in his letters, we're strangers just passing through. We're not of this world. Our home is in heaven. But here's the thing. The culture of the kingdom of the world so often overwhelms in our lives the culture of the kingdom of God. Elisha's servant got a revelation of this army of God. And he saw something that he had never seen before. But the story doesn't end there. And if you read on, disappointingly, he doesn't stay in that place of revelation. Actually, he goes back. He forgets what he's seen. Or perhaps he just remembers what he's seen, but he doesn't live by it. He doesn't live in the culture of, I've got an army with me every day. It was for that moment for him. For Elisha, it was for all of his life. For his servant, it was for that moment. And later, his name is Gehazi. He's in it for the money. And he's motivated by money, by the physical. He's forgotten what the spiritual means. What a sad thing that is. And yet, how many of us as Christians, we've had a moment in our lives where we saw the spiritual. We saw this incredible thing that God did in our life, and we had a moment of revelation, and then we turned back to the physical. We came back to the things of this world, and we forgot. Or it's a memory, and it's a good memory. You say, do you remember when we really had that miracle, or we saw that incredible thing? And yet we need to be living in that day by day by day, and we have to change our culture. Paul writes to the church in Rome, and he says, don't be so consumed by the culture of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And too often, the church is like a bunch of expats in Spain or somewhere like that who live in Spain, but they live with British culture, and they go to the British pub and they eat fish and chips, and they've not learned the language, and they've not embraced the culture, and they're missing so much. And you can argue about whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but here's the thing, it is a bad thing when we're part of the kingdom of God, but we live in the old culture. When we are set free to life and to spiritual and to see into the spiritual realm, and we limit ourselves to this physical realm. We're part of a spiritual kingdom, and yet we limit ourselves to the physical. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places, and yet somehow we're stuck on earth in the smallness of all that is. So what stops us integrating into the kingdom of God instead of staying in the culture of this world? I've just put three brief things. First, we must learn the language of the kingdom. Don't speak the way of the world, speak the way of the kingdom of heaven. We need to eat the food of the kingdom. You know, if you move to Spain as an expat, you know, if you're going to integrate, you need to go and start speaking the language. You need to go and start to eat the Spanish food. And finally, we need to reject the notion that British culture equals kingdom culture. Or American culture, or German culture, or French culture, or Spanish culture equals kingdom culture. The kingdom of God is totally different. We have to think in a different way. We have to understand and act and react in a different way, because that's what the kingdom of God requires of us. And how do we do that? We read about it here. We understand kingdom culture because we look at what is in the handbook, how it's described to us by those who are part of that culture. Do not conform to the standard of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, part of the reason why, again, that example, if you go to Spain and British expats, you find a bunch of them who have not integrated, and part of the reason is because they're afraid. They don't know what to do. They go to a Spanish restaurant and they don't speak the language, and how do they order? Much easier if you go with somebody who knows. Much easier if you go with somebody who's familiar with the culture, who can speak the language. How much easier for it is us as Christians if we go, if we spend time in the presence of people who understand the culture of the kingdom of God. And if you want to know what it means to live in the culture of the kingdom, to get a revelation of the spiritual, you need to get around people that know it. Whoever that might be, someone that sees into the spiritual realm, someone who lives according to the culture of the kingdom, and they may be considered weirdos by your friends or the people around you or the culture of this kingdom, of this world, but they can see something that you don't see. And they can understand something that you don't understand, that I don't understand. And I need to get with them. And they'll show me the ropes. They'll teach me the language. They'll give me, show me how to order at the restaurant. All of those things. Because somebody who's familiar with it. And those of us who are, we need to be showing others. Those of us who don't know or have a limited glimpse, we need to be pushing into it and seeing more. Just to conclude with now, in a moment I'm going to pray for a revelation of the spiritual. I'm going to pray that God would show himself to us. Maybe there'll be a circumstance this week where you can step into the spiritual realm and see miracles happen. If you read the rest of the story in 2 Kings 6, there's an incredible miracle that happens, and the nation is delivered from the Arameans as a result. Because when we see into the spiritual, miracles happen. When we put ourselves into the spiritual realm, miracles happen. And my prayer is that this week we'd start to see those things. We'd see into the spiritual realm. We'd understand who's with us is greater than who is against us. But more than that, we'd see miracles occurring because of who is at work in our lives. But the danger is that we open the door and we have a look through and then we retreat, like Gehazi, like Elisha's servant. We see the spiritual, we have a revelation, we have a moment with Jesus, but then we come back to what we used to because we're afraid, because we don't know. because it's unfamiliar to us. Well, I'm going to pray also for us that we are confident to step forward, that we can find people who would lead us into a place that we've never been. Let's pray together. Father, we want to pray that you would show us your kingdom. You would show us the spiritual realm, that we would see there are more with us than there are against us. Father, I pray for a revelation. Like Elisha, I pray that we would see what is around us. Open our eyes, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that this morning we'd get that revelation. Throughout this week, we'd get that revelation. And more than that, Father, I pray this week you'd give us opportunities for the miraculous, opportunities for the supernatural, opportunities to pray for people that they can be set free. And Father, I pray that we would not let it rest there. We wouldn't let it be just a glimpse of the kingdom of God, that it were just a glimpse into the heavenly places. But Father, we would learn to live in that place, to go through that door, to change our culture, to learn the language, to eat the food. That we can embrace all that you have for us. Father, I pray you'd help us to reject our own culture and to get hold of the culture of the kingdom of God. Father, I pray you'd help us in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing together, and I surprised Ian with this like 2 minutes before the service, so there's no practice going on. We're going to sing, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you." And let's make this a prayer. As we sing, let's say, "God, I want to see you. Reveal yourself, I pray." In the name of Jesus.